Today on the Wintrust Business Lunch, we have the privilege of being joined by CEO and President of Wintrust Mortgage, David Robin. Hi, David.
Hello, G. How are you today?
Oh, I am so great. I'm so happy that you're in studio.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Excited also to find out some more information about housing policies, which is coming up in a little bit. But first, because it's that time of year, it's the season when you're giving to a lot of charities and you're buying a lot of things online, you have some information about protecting your confidential financial information, right?
I do. You know, tis the season, and it's a time when a lot of people are out there burning up the credit card and buying stuff online.
Actually, I should literally burn mine up so that I don't use it.
So in doing so, those people that have made a living and a craft out of hacking and phishing and trying to get consumers to take the bait for stealing their money or their identities online, this is their season as well. And we see a proliferation of hacking attempts. We see a proliferation of phishing attempts where they are really trying to get you to take the bait because you're distracted, you're moving quickly, and you've got a lot of distraction going on in your life. And so we see it in the mortgage industry, we see it in the financial services industry. Today is the time to be really diligent, and not just with your emails. I think there's a little bit of a misconception that hacking and phishing is just an email thing. It's not. Today, it also includes people trying to record your voice over phone calls and bogus
really?
Phone calls. Absolutely. And they use that to create voice identities, to get passwords, etc. We also find a proliferation of text campaigns. So my message to those listening is have the same level of diligence around your emails, around your phones, as you do around texting. They have become incredibly smart, incredibly complicated, and it's a full cottage industry that's alive and well. So be mindful. If it doesn't seem legitimate, if it seems unusual, take a pause before you click on it, you answer that phone call. Just be mindful that the holiday season, it ramps up.
So, David, would you recommend just not answering a call if you don't recognize the number?
That's a personal decision, but I will tell you, I don't answer any phone call that I don't recognize the phone number.
Okay. And then is it okay to use any ATM, or should you use only particular ATMs?
Well, I think like anything, if you see an ATM machine out there that doesn't look like it's well lit, it doesn't look like it's well protected, anything about it looks unusual, you're probably best not to use it. But banks invest an inordinate amount of money around data security, information protection, and obviously the financial security related to those machines. So if it's a national bank or it's a state chartered bank, chances are it's going to be safe. But if you see anything unusual, some attachment attached to it that doesn't look normal, question everything.
Well, I'm curious what you do. You're a very smart man. You're in the industry, an industry veteran. You've been with Wintrust since 1994.
I have.
During the holidays, do you tend to only use one credit card, or what measures do you take to make sure that you're not going to get hacked?
Try to simplify my life. I use only two credit cards. That's my approach, and with my wife. And so that works for us. But I just would tell you, diligence, question everything. It's important to be protected.
Well, you heard it from David, and he knows. Okay, moving on. There's a lot of new real estate housing trends right now, not only locally, but nationally, too.
Yeah, I just read a report earlier this week that said all 50 states enjoyed housing appreciation this year to date. And that's obviously an illustration of the recovery that we've seen since the housing recession. It's encouraging for those that have not only previously, but looking to utilize and leverage real estate as an investment asset. So locally, we have seen a continued recovery here in the Chicagoland area. But like nationally, there are pockets of market of real estate that has done extremely well, and other areas that have been soft or has had a harder time in recovering. So as you've heard the mantra before in real estate, it's location, location, mm-hmm. location.
And you also say that there are technology changes that are happening right now in the mortgage industry. Are these changes going to make our lives easier?
I would say they're transformational. And an analogy that I share with our team frequently is, and I don't mean to pick on the airline industry, I don't mean that at all, but you go up to an airline counter and you go to ask them to change your seat location from a window to an aisle, and it mm-hmm. takes them 15 minutes and they're just typing like crazy. And you say, look, I just wanted to change my seat. I didn't want you to build a plane. And that's really an illustration to me of some of the legacy software and technology that industries have been hamstrung with. And the mortgage industry has been no different. We, too, have had legacy software that has evolved from the 80s, and it has really wrestled to keep up. Well, in the last 6 to 8 years, a number of fintech companies have worked very hard to create solutions that are game-changing for our industry. And I'll give you an example of that. The historical application to clear to close of a mortgage transaction has historically been about 45 days or so, some a little less, some a little more, depending on the complexity of your transaction. We've seen new technology where we've taken a customer from application to actually getting them cleared to close in 6 days.
You're kidding.
No, it's incredible, and that's really ready to close. Now, that obviously means a customer who might be a W-2 wage earner who has a relatively simple transaction. They've got all their assets sitting in the bank. They're buying a property that's relatively standard. There's nothing really unusual about the transaction. But that's where technology is today, and more of people that are looking to apply are now starting to benefit from some of that game-changing technology. It reduced the time it takes, clearly reduces the anxiety, and it also helps be a driver for reducing the cost to originate a loan.
So you're just talking about mortgage technology. So let's continue the conversation and talk about the proliferation of non-QM mortgage products and whether that's a good or a bad thing for consumers.
Yeah, for listeners, non-QM really stands for qualified mortgage. The Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act of 2010 came out and created a lot of regulation and oversight for the mortgage industry in particular. And through that, they really wanted to define what is a mortgage that's considered safe and sound or a qualified transaction. And anything that was outside of those guidelines would be viewed as higher risk and perhaps a non-qualified transaction to meet that safety and sound standard. Now, there's a couple of notable carve-outs to that. One would be jumbo loans. Today, loans above $510,400. And also loans where the loan-to-value, so what your housing debt would be divided by your total monthly income, if it's greater than 43%, it would be viewed higher risk non-QM. And so they created a temporary patch that said even though your debt-to-income ratios would exceed 43%. If it was approved by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's automated underwriting engines, it would still be qualified as a qualified mortgage. And that helped a lot of consumers because it obviously helped them afford and be able to qualify, but it created a transition from here to there. Now, that patch is set to expire a year after next. And when that expires, it creates a real void in the industry in terms of available liquidity for people to qualify for higher DTI or debt-to-income ratios. There have been some products that have been terrific to solve that solution, and that's the good part of non-QM loans. But there's also been a return of some of these what I would call reduced or no documentation loans. And quite simply, I'm not a fan. I think that when you look at the home ownership rate, historically, we've averaged at the U.S. at about 67%. We got to almost 70% in 2008, and that's when we hit the disaster that was subsequently came thereafter. That 3% difference is interesting because it's almost similar to the amount of people that ended up giving back their mortgages or giving back their real estate. So 67-68% seems to be that break-even point for us mm-hmm. as a society. And today we are about 2.5% below that. So there's opportunity to improve the homeownership rate, but there's a point of diminishing returns.
So I have about a minute left.
Sure.
So just really quickly, why home ownership still matters, according to David?
Sure. You know, at the end of the recession, the U.S. government created a housing policy for us that we enjoy to this day. And what we found was that it became the single greatest source of wealth creation for the consumers in this economy. It also created social benefits that have been long-standing and far-reaching. But there's the other thing, which is what I call emotional equity. I've seen it recently with my two daughters in the last 3 months have purchased their very first homes. And to see what it does for you in terms of a sense of pride, a sense of accomplishment, the investment that you have,
it's
impressive.
I've heard of.
Well, you know what? One day I am also going to have that emotional equity. I will one day. Well, so thank you so much for being in studio with us today. This is David Robin with all of his wisdom and insight, CEO and president of Wintrust Mortgage.